Okay, Chevra, Yashar Koach, thank you for coming to the Aaron, Martha, Isidore, Inn, and Blanche Rosansky Contemporary Halacha Program. That's the official, they are our sponsors. What we're discussing today is actually a sensitive topic, but it's also a topic of great importance. The question of Avodah Zarah today. Now, I'm not going to be focusing on issues of Avodah Zarah outside of the Western world where we live. I've gotten a few shilas about that. For example, I had a member of my shul who was traveling to Peru and ended up buying some little elephant with pearls in it, and it looked really nice. And then she came home and she noticed on Wikipedia that this is actually some sort of deity. So that is a Avodah Zarah question, but that's not what we're talking about. I also once got a question about someone, whether they were allowed to go to a Sikh temple, S-I-K-H. It happens that those in the know contend that Sikhism is not a form of Avodah Zarah at all. It's actually a monotheistic religion without any icons. Who would have guessed? But the fact is, what we're discussing today is Avodah Zarah in our world, namely the question and the status of Christianity and how this is relevant for us. There are lots of questions that come up in this realm. Questions of going to visit the cloisters, for example. It's right here in Washington Heights. It's a museum. There's supposed to be some very beautiful tapestries that come from a French monastery, which are in the cloisters. They look like unicorns, apparently. But right, that's a question, whether that's permitted. Questions, I don't know why. Lots of people in my shul like taking vacations to Rome and going to the Vatican. Personally, if you'd ask me where I'd want to go on vacation, that's not it. But the fact is it permitted to tour the Vatican? Is that mutter, is that usser? This relates, of course, to the status of Christianity, and it also will relate to a few other issues that we will bring up. So when we approach this question, just as an introduction, obviously we have to approach it with a great deal of sensitivity. We're talking about Avodah Zarah, or a potential Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah is something you read Chumash, and we get a very, very negative impression of Avodah Zarah, as we should, no? Rabbi Yaakov Zvi Mecklenburg points out in Haksava Kabbalah that the Torah's description of Avodah Zarah is always in their most vile and disgusting terms. Shaketz teshaktzenu. Fe. Right? That's literally the translation. Disgusting. Right? And that HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Torah wants to not only teach us how to act, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is also trying to train us in proper attitudes. And the Torah's attitude is that Avodah Zarah is revolting, is disgusting. On the other hand, we are all, to a greater degree or to a lesser degree, we are all products of a Western world, in our Western ethos. So the one thing that is chok v'lo yavar is the idea of equality. And whenever I contend that this is different than that, so people begin to feel uneasy. And even when it comes to questions of one religion against another religion, people will say, one second, how could you do that? They're good people. And we're not going to be saying, even right, if the answer is Avodah Zarah, we are not saying that they are not bad people. We are not saying that they are not good people. Have to be careful. But the fact is, there is a concept. There is a concept of Avodah Zarah. So even though from our Western ethos, we are not comfortable with taking away certain zechuyos, certain rights that people would be entitled to, nonetheless, Avodah Zarah has to be something that is really off ground. Of course, we have to analyze the question correctly, which means that you can't just sit there and chuckle and stroke your beard and say, oy vey, Avodah Zarah, Avodah Zarah. You have to understand the basis of what they practice, what Christians practice, and as such, like, try to make a determination. Now, I should also point out that Christianity is really, really broad, right? I can't tell you today what Jews practice. I can't tell you what Orthodox Jews practice. Al-achas kam v'kam atoiva m'chupelas. I can't tell you, right, what Christians do, because the difference between Roman Catholics and Protestants and the difference between the various Protestant sects is all very, very important. In particular, with the issue that we are addressing, which is the question as to whether the Trinity, belief in a triune God, does that constitute Avodah Zarah? Okay, tri is three. Triune God means that there is a Godhead that is composed of three different parts. That is a fundamental belief among, I would say, most Christian sects, although among some Protestant sects, they are Unitarians. Those who know something about American history recognize, my wife would beat me up if I wouldn't know this, recognize that the Puritans came over because they were deemed to be heretical because they did not believe in the Trinity. The concept of the Trinity is a concept that, at first glance, you say, okay, three, Avodah Zarah. No? I think that is a simple man's way of looking at it. When you get involved and you speak to the theologians, and you speak to those who are more sophisticated in their belief, they'll say, whoa, 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 let's be careful. Three doesn't mean three. Three equals one. No? I remember as a kid, Eschatayin Maskir Ayon, there used to be someone named Father Guido Sarducci who was on Saturday Night Live. Anyone know what I'm talking about? And Father Guido Sarducci used to try to explain that mathematics doesn't make any sense because 3 equals 1, and therefore, like, the whole science of math has to be ruined. And his tax forms were amazing. But the fact is that Christian belief, they will tell you, no, 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 we are not Ovdei Avodah Zarah. Although we have a notion called the Trinity, that does not mean that there are three independent forces. That means that there are three aspects of the divine. That is their term. If such, so then we have to seriously question, and the Rishonim did the work for us, we have to seriously question the notion of at least Catholicism and Avodah Zarah. Yeah? So the definition of Avodah Zarah is not so easy. In Dr. David Berger's book about Lubavitch, the Rebbe, what is it? It's like three... The Scandal of Orthodox Indifference, right? So in that book, he has a section on Avodah Zarah. The term he likes to use is that Avodah Zarah is the belief that something is not God is in fact God. Now, this of course raises a question, because part of the Trinity is that they believe in a God which is the same as our God. They believe in a God that is incorporeal, a God that doesn't, incorporeal for those of you who didn't go to real college, means does not have a body. I shouldn't say that on tape, right? I can be fired. Okay, but the fact is they believe that God has all the aspects that we say God has. But they have other aspects of God as well that are part of the Godhead. Now what this means, again, our job here is not to go into Christian theology. But Lahavin Lahoros, it's important to at least understand the issue. So one potential Avodah Zarah dimension in Christianity is the Trinity. Another potential dimension is the Incarnation. The Incarnation means that Christians believe, at least certain segments of Christians, this is a big machlokas among the different segments, even among Trinitarians, some believe that God himself is incarnate in the body of what we will call Yashka. Others contend that the incarnation is more of a metaphor. It's not a literal sense. Now, from our perspective, if a person is worshiping a human who embodies God, that I think we would consider to be Avodah Zarah. The details of what precisely incarnation means in Christian thought, and different groups within Christianity have different takes on this, is also going to be very relevant for the conversation. But for some reason, which is beside me, when the Rishonim focus on the question as to Christianity and its Avodah Zarah, their issue is regarding the Trinity, not the incarnation. I had an email exchange with Dr. David Berger at one point. We're going to encounter the Shita of the Me'iri. The Me'iri is the one Rishon who probably believes that Christianity is not Avodah Zarah. So I said, okay, so Zayin. So the... you have to say it in Yiddish, or else it's not good. But I understand. So the Trinity, perhaps I have a way around it being Avodah Zarah. But what about the incarnation? So I don't have a great answer to that. Again, unless you have to know exactly the type of Christianity that the Me'iri was dealing with at that time period. Fine. So let's begin to learn. The sugya of whether Christianity is Avodah Zarah. And then, once we're done with this sugya in the theoretical sense, then we'll try to get to some of the practical questions. I don't know how many of you have the sources in front of you. If you have them in front of you, you could follow along. I'll try to read some of this inside. Mishnah in the first pack of Avodah Zarah tells us that there are certain festivals that we are not allowed to do business with the pagans before those festivals. It's Aser. And the Rambam, the Perush HaMishnah, tells us that these festivals that are mentioned are the festivals that are before summer, but also Hazman, Eitzel HaNotzrim V'HaNovim Aleihem. Now, Notzrim means Christians, no? Yashka came from Nazareth. Notzrim. Right? That's basically the idea. V'chein kochag Eitzel kol umas b'chol gulas aretz if they are Avodah Zarah, yuchuyav v'hem asher zachar v'da. Shezos ha'uma ha'notzus ha'omedes betainas ha'moshiach al chiluf kitoseha. The Rambam, by the way, this Rambam in Perush HaMishnah, there are different versions of Perush HaMishnah. The worst edition of Perush HaMishnah is the one that appears in the Gemaras, no? The Ibn Tibbin version is just terrible. But this line actually does not really make it to the Ibn Tibbin version. This does make it to the better versions of the Perush HaMishnah, the Kafach version, and now there is a version from Yeshivat Malei Adumim, where Rav Yehuda Shaviv, I believe, is putting out a new version of Perush HaMishnah. Rav Kafach's version of Perush HaMishnah is a... Perush HaMishnah is written in Arabic. Rav Kafach used his grandfather's translation into Judeo-Arabic that he had. So it's pretty good, but there are better translations than that, and that's what Rav Shaviv is working with. So the Rambam is sophisticated here. The Rambam tells us that this Christian nation who believes in Tainas HaMashiach, meaning that Christianity fundamentally believes that the Messiah has already come. Our belief is, okay, I hope I'm not spoiling it for anyone, Mashiach has not yet come, right? So, Al Chiluf Kitoseha, through all of its different groups, the Rambam notes, there are different groups of Christians, they are all of the Avodah Zarah, and their festivals are all Usar, and we deal with Christians like we deal with all of the Avodah Zarah. Now, this line, where the Rambam gets it from, is probably from a Gemara that appears on Davav and Dav Zayin, that says that Yom Notzri La'olam Usar. Now, when I say Gemara, I mean Gemara in the manuscript editions. This line of the Gemara was taken out of our editions. No? But there was a line in the manuscript. Actually, someone gave me, I'm teaching Avodah Zarah my shul on Shabbosos, someone gave me the manuscript. It came out from JTS. Shraga Abramson came out with the manuscript edition. It's a facsimile of one of the manuscripts. That line is in there. That Yom Notzri La'olam Aser. The Rishonim had that line. That's what the Rambam is based on. The Rambam is understanding that Notzri means Christians, and Christianity is Avodah Zarah. And the Rambam has this in the Perush HaMishnah. The Rambam has this in the Yad HaChazakah as well. The Notzrim are Ovdei Avodah Zarah, and Sunday is their holiday, and therefore you can't do business with them, right, on Thursday and on Friday of each week. Great. Why? Because right? Christianity is Avodah Zarah. The Rambam in Hilchos Macharos Asuros, in the context of discussing a Ger Toshav, there's three shitos in Tanoim and Samach Dalel in Avodah Zarah, whether a Ger Toshav is someone who does not worship Avodah Zarah, whether a Ger Toshav is someone who accepts in the presence of a Beis Din all Shavah Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, whether a Ger Toshav is someone who accepts all mitzvahs in the Torah, with the exception of eating the velus. The Rambam tells us that Ger Toshav, he paskins, is someone who accepts Sheva Mitzvos. The wine of a Ger Toshav is Aser B'Shtiya U'Mutter B'Hana'ah, the Rambam paskins. And then the Rambam says, and the Goyim of the Yishma'elim, meaning the Muslims, their wine is similarly Aser B'Shtiya and Mutter B'Hana'ah. Why? Because just like a Ger Toshav is not Oved Avodah Zarah, a Yishma'eli for the Rambam is not Oved Avodah Zarah. A Muslim is not Oved Avodah Zarah. As such, the wine of the Muslims is Aser B'Shtiya and it's Mutter B'Hana'ah. But the Christians, their wine is really, really Aser. Now, the Rambam gets to this idea that Christianity is full-fledged Avodah Zarah in part because of the way the Rambam understands Avodah Zarah. The Rambam, Perek Aleph, Avodah Zarah, Halacha Aleph, gives us the history of Avodah Zarah. That sounds like a multi-volume work, no? The history of Avodah Zarah. But the Rambam has like three halachas. So the Rambam tells us, in the days of Enosh, people made a great mistake, and they basically said, listen, since HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the stars, etc., so HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to worship those as well. And that led to Avodah Zarah. Meaning to say, what the Rambam is telling me is that the way Avodah Zarah came into the world is not through the worship of some deity as opposed to God, but comes from the worship of a deity in addition to God, no? They're worshiping God, but they say God also wants us to worship said entity, sun, moon, whatever it is, no? That means that for the Rambam, Shituf is full-fledged Avodah Zarah. Because it came into the world. The whole history of Avodah Zarah is based on the fact that in the time of Enosh, people began to worship the sun and the moon in addition to God. So therefore, if I worship something in addition to God, does he stuff Avodah Zarah? That's what the Rambam is saying, no?
What, does that imply a lack in God for you to believe anything else?
A lack of?
A lack in God's capabilities to believe anything else?
Not necessarily. The way the people in the time of Enosh said is that God is all capable, but God wants me to worship other entities besides God. Again, in part, this is based on what the Rambam has in the Ikari HaEmunah and Perek Chelek, which is the Rambam's complete opposition to any intermediaries. That's point one. Point two is the Rambam in Ikari HaEmunah defines Yichud Hashem in a very strong way. Okay, I don't want to go around the room. Maybe I will. How do we translate the pasuk Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad? What does Hashem Echad mean? What?
More than one interpretation. Rashi
says, Rashi says that the entire world will recognize Hashem. Okay. And for the Rambam, what does Hashem Echad mean?
Only an indivisible.
What?
Only an indivisible.
Only an indivisible. In other words, God, Rav Salvechik used to tell the students that the only correct way to translate Hashem Echad for the Rambam is that God is unique. Because the Rambam tells us that the Achdus of Hashem is unlike the singularity of any other essence. No? My finger, I have one right finger. But my right finger is composed of many different parts. Achdus Hashem is not comprised of different parts. Achdus Hashem is not a conglomerate. It's not that I welded different things together to form Achdus. Achdus Hashem is something that is singular, unique, indivisible. As such, it cannot possibly have any corporeal essence, because anything that is physical, by definition, can be divided. Right, so for the Rambam, Achdus Hashem is absolute and complete unity. Memela, zok the Rambam, if I believe in a trinity, I am an Oved Avodah Zarah. Now, you might try to chat me, but does the Rambam call this Avodah Zarah, or does the Rambam call this Minos? Regzana Hilchos Tshuva. The fact is, for the Rambam, I'm not saying he uses these terms interchangeably, but they are, to a certain extent, synonymous. What the Rambam is telling me is that Trinity has to be Avodah Zarah. It has to be Avodah Zarah because that Trinity, by definition, is a lack of singularity. And a lack of singularity means that's not the same God that I worship. That's Avodah Zarah. That's the sheet of the Rambam. Yeah.
It's not such a finish. I mean, the idea of being, well, I don't really understand this far. What's the meaning? If it's really just a thought that Hashem wanted them to serve them, that's like doing any mitzvah. Obviously, we do mitzvahs, and there are different aspects of mitzvahs.
But do I attribute power, and do I attribute a source of prayer? Where are my prayers directed towards?
That was what it was. They davened to them.
Ru'uyim him l'shabchem l'faram l'achlik l'hem kovid. Right, that's the Lashon of the Rambam. Now, what does that mean? Obviously, it means to give them kavod as an...
He doesn't mention... You miss,
as a source.
It's not that one thing. It's like that they have independent power. He doesn't mention that.
I mean, you might be saying something very good that we'll try to get to in a minute. But I think the mainstream Mahalachon and the Rambam is that the Rambam gives us the history of Avodah Zarah because it leads to a... Now, the question is, like, who cares how Avodah Zarah came into the world? I think the answer might be because it leads to the Rambam's understanding of Achdus, or they both stem from the same place, and by definition, it leads to a definition of Avodah Zarah, which the Rambam accepts. But we'll hold your point, yeah.
Doesn't he say in the Parash of Mishnah, so he gives you the reason why he thinks it's Avodah Zarah, because they say, Mashiach has come.
I don't know if that would make it Avodah Zarah.
But
that would
be. That's what he says in
Perush Mishnah. That's the reason he gives. The Rambam says that these Christians, and he identifies them as being those who believe that Mashiach came, but that doesn't mean that he's defining their Avodah Zarah belief. And that's who are the Notzrim? Let's say I don't know who they are. Oh, they're the people who believe Mashiach came. Right? That's how the Rambam identifies the cat, but he's not telling me, right? That defines their Avodah Zarah. I don't think belief that Mashiach already came would make one an Oyved Avodah Zarah. I don't think so. Yeah?
What about the Sphira?
Okay, so I knew someone would ask this question. Like, how is this different than Kabbalistic Sphiros? So the answer is, I used to give the answer that I'm too young to understand this, and at this point I just became 40, so I guess technically I'm not too young anymore, but I still don't understand it. The reality is that the Sphiros are different manifestations of how the same HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to us in the world, but there's no difference in the Atzmuso of the Borei Yisbarach. Look in Tanya, the whole book. That's basically the short difference. Obviously, there's much more that can be said to answer that question, and this is one of the reasons why certain groups were very opposed to popularization of ideas of Sphiros. Sphiros obviously have source going back in Yiddishkeit, you know, way, way, way back, but the popularization or the opposition to it was in part because of making that mistake. Okay, so the sheet of the Rambam seems to be very clear that the Rambam holds that Christianity is Avodah Zarah. There is a tshuva written by my predecessor. When I say my predecessor, what I mean is as follows. The Mata Levi was Rabbi Marcus Horowitz. He was the Rav of the Gross Gemeinde Shul in Frankfurt am Main. In Frankfurt, there was the Austrick Gemeinde, which is largely represented today by Breuers. And the Gross Gemeinde, Austrick meant that they did not deal with any other Jewish organizations, groups. They were on their own. They broke away from everything else. They established their own cemeteries, their own society, their own school, etc. That's Austrit, right? We have nothing to do with the rest of the Jewish world. The Gross Gemeinde were Orthodox Jews, but they believed, I think largely what modern Orthodox Jews believe today, that one should interact with Jews of all stripes and flavors. So Rabbi Marcus Horowitz was the Rav of the Gross Gemeinde in Frankfurt am Main, and he wrote in the Tshuvas Mata Levi a response to Shaila whether one's allowed to donate money to a church. So he says, yeah, He thinks it's permitted. And he says, because everyone knows that many Rishonim hold Christianity is not Avodah Zarah. And even the Rambam doesn't say Christianity is Avodah Zarah. Now, it happens that he was working with the versions of the Rambam that didn't have those lines in Perush HaMishnah that had, and there is another version in the old printed editions of the Yad that do not say that the Notzrim are Ovdei Avodah Zarah. That we have it in Parak Tes Avodah Zarah Halacha Dalet. There are other versions that didn't have this. And therefore he says, according to the Rambam, it's not Avodah Zarah. According to the better versions of the Rambam, you cannot say what he says. And as a matter of Halacha, I have a tshuva somewhere here in this packet, a tshuva of the Malamed Lehoel, Reb David Zvi Hafman argues in his tshuvas that to donate money to a church is really a very serious halachic problem because you're giving money to Avodah Zarah. Maybe we'll talk about that later. But he's the only authority I know who questions the Rambam's understanding that Christianity is Avodah Zarah. The opposite extreme of the Rambam is the Me'iri. Menachem HaMe'iri died in the year 1267. Like all Rishonim, we're never sure when Rishonim were born, because when he was born, he was like a little boy named Menachem. And then he died, he's the famous Me'iri. So the Me'iri deals with an issue that all the Rishonim throughout the first parak of Avodah Zarah and elsewhere in Shas deal with, which is that we have a stira between the halacha and practice. The halacha says I'm not allowed to do business with goyim 3 days before their festival. The halacha says I'm not allowed to heal goyim when they get sick. The halacha says I'm not allowed to help a woman give birth. But the reality is, I look at Halagi Yidden with beards and payas, and they're all doing these things. So what the heck? How did this happen? So that's the issue that the Taisus addresses on Daf Beis, Amar Aleph, and Avodah Zarah. Taisus has 4 answers. One answer in Taisus is that the issue to do business, let's say, only applies to dealing with specific articles, specific items that they might use in Polchan, like giving animals or something, but to give other items to just do regular business with Goyim is not usher. That's one answer that's given in Taisus. Other answers given in Taisus is that the non-Jews that we have today are not particularly devout. It's unclear exactly what Tosis means by that. He might mean something along the lines of the Me'iri, but he might not. Another answer that's given in Tosis, but actually is rejected by Tosis on Beis Amud Aleph, is that it's permitted because of Eva. There is a principle in Halacha called Eva. Eva is that we don't want to raise the enmity of the non-Jews against us. We want to get along with the people in the world. We don't want them to be upset at us, etc. And perhaps Eva would permit it. It happens that Tosfos is shita throughout Avodah Zarah, at least throughout the first pack of Avodah Zarah. There's one day in the Tosfos Daf Chaf Vav in Avodah Zarah that's against this. But Tosfos shita throughout the first pack of Avodah Zarah is that Eva is never a matir. Eva is an iser. Meaning to say, Tosfos understands all the Gemaras that speak about Eva in the sense that that it's forbidden to do actions which will get the goyim to be upset at you. You can't create Eva. But Eva, the fact that the goyim won't like us, and they'll be upset at us, will not permit any action, according to Taisus. That's Taisus Shita, again, besides that one day on Chafav, that's Taisus Shita throughout Avodah Zarah. But Taisus suggests this as a possibility to deal with this stira. How do I deal with a world that the Orthodox Jews are not acting like the laws that are set out in the Mishnah and the Gemara? And that's the question that Taisus raises. The Me'iri has a yesod that he says in many different places, in many different mesachtas, that basically solves everything. Zak the Me'iri, that this rule that we should not deal with Goyim applies only to Amoladika Goyim, the type of non-Jews that used to exist. But for us, the Me'iri says, we have Umos HaGedurim B'Darchei Hadassos, we have nations who are bound by laws. So therefore, none of these precautionary measures that are set in the Mishnayos apply. That's the yesod of the Me'iri. Now, how far the Me'iri goes with this yesod is a very interesting question, and it's a fertile question to investigate. The best article about this is written by Moshe Halbertal in, I think, the first volume of the Eidah Journal. The scope of what the Mi'irin... In other words, would I say that there's no Isser of Bishul Akum? By the way, Bishul Akum does not mean that you cook a non-Jew and eat it. Bishul Akum means when the guy cooks for you. Just word to the wise. But the fact is... That's Danny Rapp's joke. But the fact is... Rabbi Rapp. But the fact is that the Mi'iri develops this yesod of Umos Hagadim B'dach Yadossus, and he uses it in some pretty radical ways. The Mi'iri says, for example, in Yoma, in the Sugya being Mechalo Shabbos, that you're allowed to be Mechalo Shabbos for someone who is Umos Hagadim B'dach Yadossus. Now, whether we use this Mi'iri or not is a very important question in terms of doctors on Shabbos, Hatzalah on Shabbos, etc. I was told that Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, Zechron Lefracha, used to paskin straight up like this Mi'iri. When I asked my friend Meir Soloveitchik whether this was true, it was after Rav Aaron was Nifter. He told me to be in touch with Dr. Applebaum, who was one of Rav Aaron's major Talmidim. I tried to get in touch with Dr. Applebaum. Turns out that the week I was trying to get in touch with him is the week he was murdered by terrorists. So, and we know the story. He was like, his daughter was about to get married, and he was at Spiral, etc. I'm pretty confident that Rav Aaron used to paskin straight up like this Mi'iri. In Dr. Berger's article in the Orthodox Forum volume, there's an Orthodox Forum volume about egalitarianism. So in that volume, Dr. Berger has a really important article where he gives you a list of poskim who follow the Mi'iri. But within the Mi'iri, we're still not there yet. Let me explain. This line in the Mi'iri just says, you know what, technical halachos might not apply to Umos Hagadim B'dach Yadossos. But that's not getting at the essence of Christianity. It might be saying that these halachos of not doing business is because, you know what, the people have no laws and you shouldn't deal with people who have no laws. But people have laws, it's okay. But it's not getting at the idea of whether Christianity is Avodah Zarah or is not Avodah Zarah. And in Jacob Katz is the one who made this Mi'iri famous, no? In his book Exclusiveness and Tolerance. Any of you taking Bernard Revel graduate school classes in medieval Jewish history, this is like Aleph Beis, right? No? Maybe not. Okay, whatever. But the fact is that the Mi'iri, though, does not use Umos Hagaduros in this context, which is what I would say he does. The Mi'iri instead says something very radical. Let's look at this Mi'iri, the underlined parts on page 2. Bismanim halolo, it's mutter legamre. All of these prohibitions are absolutely permitted. Mash amr begama notzi lo olam aser. Ani mefarshal miloshon notzirim ba'im me'eretz mercha ka'omer be'yir miyashakar osam ha'am notzirim hashem nevucha netzar. V'yadu hashet selam hashem hashem b'vavel etc. Zuck the Mi'iri, he has the girsa of the Ksav Yad, he has the girsa Yom Notzi La'olam Aser, but instead of interpreting Notzrim as Christians, the Mi'iri interprets Notzrim as the people of Nebuchadnezzar. This is something that David Berger made a big deal of in his article, but it's striking, no? Because I could have interpreted it as Christians and say the halacha still doesn't apply because today, unzer Christians are Umos Hagadim B'dach Yadossos. But the Mi'iri doesn't say that. The Mi'iri says no. The Notzrim that the Gemara is talking about are people of Nebuchadnezzar. And they worship the sun, etc. And the Mi'iri elsewhere, in Gittin, goes even further. The Mi'iri says... Here, look at this. The end of this Mi'iri in Gittin, on Samach Beis. Mikol Makom, the last two lines. Umos Hagadim B'dach Yadossu Ma'min B'mitziyoso Yisparach La'achduso V'yecholto Af Alpi Shemishtabshim B'Ktzas Devarim L'fi Amunaseinu Ein Lahem Makom B'Dvarim Halalu. The Mi'iri is discussing the Gemara about whether you're allowed to say Shalom to non-Jews. Okay, nice Gemara. And the Mi'iri says the Christians that we live amongst, you're allowed to say shalom to them. Why? Because they are not just umos hagaduros. not only do they have laws, but these are people who ma'aminim b'yimitziyoso yisbarach la'achduso. They believe in God's existence le'achduso. Vos mentos la'achduso. They believe in God's unity, and they believe in God's power, v'yicholto, but they are making a shtickle mistake. They are making a little mistake. Teeny little mistake, that's what they're doing. They believe three, we believe one. Small, minor, big deal. What difference between three and one? Two. What's a big deal? That's basically what the Miri is saying. Now, this is already frightening. In other words, this Meiri seems to contend that Christianity is not Avodah Zarah. Christianity is not really Avodah Zarah. It's a mistake! And a Jew who would believe in Christianity would be making a mistake about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But such a Jew would not be an Ovid Avodah Zarah. Might be a man, but not an Ovid Avodah Zarah. The Meiri in Hurios is even more striking in the sense of, in the context of a Jew who adopted a different religion, Zak the Meiri, you only are viewed negatively, close mind, you consider yourself a Jew who's adopting a different religion. But if you consider yourself a full-fledged guy, a full-fledged member of that other religion, so the Meiri says, okay, you're considered kibnei osa hadas, you'll nifnas ba. You can say, like, a member of that religion. That means that the Meiri is not really looking negatively on Christianity at all. Now, you have to realize, the Meiri lived in the French Riviera, right? The Christians around the Meiri were Christians who did not yet have Vatican II. These are Christians who are still involved. You know, we have episodes of blood libels. We have episodes of, what's it called, killing the host, or whatever the term is.
Desecration.
Host desecration, right? Or accusations of host desecration against Jews in these regions. And the Meiri is still viewing the Christians around him as being not Oyvdei Avodah Zarah. Now, some contend that Meiri never really meant it. The Meiri is writing for the censor. That's really unlikely. If I'm just writing for the censor, I wouldn't go so far. I wouldn't make these philosophical claims. The fact that the Meiri is making these philosophical claims implies that the Meiri holds that Christianity is genuinely not Avodah Zarah. And that is obviously the opposite extreme of the Rambam. Yeah?
What's the implication of being able to make yourself a member of another religion? Does that mean you would be chayav for all the averos?
Yisrael api shochat Yisrael, who's, you're still technically chayav, but the negative impression that we have of a mummer and a mashumid does not apply to you. All of the rules of mashumid only apply to a Jew who is toying. But a Jew who has adopted a different religion, the Meiri says, does not have the rules of Meshumet. That's a very striking Meiri. I don't think I'm making it up. So now, the Meiri probably really meant it. How do we deal with this Meiri? So there's two approaches. Rabbi Bleich, you know, the yeshiva came out with a book like 2 years ago or something called The Philosophical Quest, which is like a combination and compilation of all of Rabbi Bleich's articles. So there's one article called The Theme of Unity in Maimonides and the Meiri. It has like the most catchy title ever. It's the type of title that you would never open up and read the article if you just read that title. But in fact, he's actually talking about this issue, which is kind of interesting, which is what do we deal with the Meiri? How do we understand this Meiri? So Zok Rabbi Bleich, he thinks that the Meiri was living amongst Christian sects who were Unitarian Christians who did not believe in the Trinity, and that's why the Meiri makes his statements the way he does. And then Rabbi Bleich in his article tries to identify which particular Christian heresy was living in the region around the Meiri at that time. interesting. Dr. Berger, in his Orthodox Forum article, says that it's nice conjecture, but there's zero proof to it. There's really no proof that this is true. It's much more likely that Meiri actually meant it. Nonetheless, do we deal with this Meiri seriously or not? So Rabbi Bleich, in his article, both in an article in Tradition Volume 44 and in an article in that volume, which appeared earlier in some festschrift for somebody, in both places, Rabbi Bleich quotes from Rav Soloveitchik. Now, this is actually very rare. Rabbi Bleich is the one Rosh Hashiva here, almost never quotes from Rav Soloveitchik in his writings. You ever notice that? I think really interesting, no? Rabbi Bleich will quote, like, some Australian, the back of Australia bovine journal about whatever, but he's not going to quote from, like, Rebbeim who are downstairs in this building. It's interesting. But the fact is that Rabbi Bleich in this article quotes from Rabbi Heshi Reichman, who wrote an article in the Hamavaser at one point, where Rabbi Heshi Reichman quoted the Rav as saying that the Meiri is a mere curiosity and serves no halachic import. Okay? Right? In other words, and I think this is, with the exception of Dr. Berger works very hard. Dr. Berger is mamish the expert on this topic. He works very hard to try to find some who use the Meiri LaHalacha, but the reality is, I think that among mainstream poskim, the Meiri just didn't make it. It did not make it. Now, so we have on one extreme the Rambam, Christianity is full-fledged Avodah Zarah. On another extreme, we have the Meiri that Christianity is not Avodah Zarah. The middle position is a position of Tosis. Tosis, commenting on a Gemara in Sanhedrin, same Tosis appears on the first daf in Bechoros. The Gemara says that it's Aser Shiyasa Shutfisim Hanoch, Risham Yiskayev Lev Shavua, Venishma Avodah Zarah Shalom. I cannot enter a business relationship with a guy because maybe he'll be Chayev a Shavua. And when the guy swears, he'll swear with his Avodah Zarah. And the Torah says, Lo Yisham Al Picha, I should not make a guy swear by Avodah Zarah. The question is, am I allowed to accept a shavua that a guy wants to make? If I'm not supposed to enter the business deal. Let's say I did enter the business deal. Or let's say I lent money to the guy, and now the guy's swearing that he paid me up, whatever the case is. Am I allowed to accept the shavua? It's a machlokas between the Rashbam and the Rabbeinu Tam. The Rashbam says that I should not accept a shavua, because when the guy swears, the guy is going to be in violation of Lo Yisham Al Picha. Rabbeinu Tam Amar. That's mutar lekabel himenu shavua kodem sheyafsid. Like the Gemara says in the first parak of Avodah Zarah, Milvah pen neframi men neshu kematzo miyadam. In other words, because of hefsin mammon, because I'm going to lose money, I'm allowed to accept a shavua. When the guy swears to me, I'm allowed to accept it. Zakt the Rabbeinu Tam, that even though there's a question on this, mikom makom bezman hazeh, kula nishbaim bekedeshim shalahen, which means they're saints, or Bekodshim Shalahem, there are different ways of pronouncing it. It's probably Kedeshim. Chazal were probably trying to give a derogatory attitude towards the saints. When they swear by their saints, Ve'ein Tofsim Bahen Elohos. And they do not view it like they are swearing by God. Va'af Alpisha Mashim Askim Yimahem Shem Shamayim. Ve'kabonosim L'davar Acher. Even though they mention God. And when they mention God, their intention is Yashka, Mikom Makom, Ein Zeh Shem Avodah Zarah, Gam Daitom La'Osa Shamayim, Va'af Al Pi Shemishtatfin, it should be, Shem Shamayim V'Davar Acher, Lo Ashechon De'Osam Ligram La'Achem L'Shateif, V'Lifnei Iver Lecha De'Bnei Noach L'Huzer Al-Kach. So the end of this Tosis is like a mouthful. Very hard to understand what Tosis is saying, what the Rabbeinu Tam is saying. I give you a translation of the Tosis from Dr. Berger in that same work on Lubavitch. He has this translation of the Tosis. Basically, what Tosis seems to be saying is, you know what? If the guy wants to swear to you, even though when the guy swears, the guy has in mind both the Osa Shamayim Va'aretz and Yashka, nevertheless, That is called Shituf. And Goyim, Noahides are not commanded regarding this. End of the Tosis. There are two ways of reading the Tosis. Actually, there are three ways. If you read Dr. Berger's appendix number 3 in the Lubavitch book, he has three different ways of reading the Tosis, but I think it will confuse us too much if we try to do three ways. We will try to give only two ways after this question.
Is it technically possible that some of the Shem's of Bnei Noach would still be a Christian at the same time? Are those like mutually exclusive?
Again, it's only mutually exclusive if you assume that Christianity is Avodah Zarah.
But based on like what the Tosis right now is saying, it's not Shituf, then it would, like, when they believe in God and...
So the question of what Tosis means is what we have to focus on now. What does Tosis mean when he says that it is not, that it's not, that it's Shituf? What does Tosis mean by Shituf? So the approach to in Tosis that is commonly held is that what Tosis means is that for Christians, or for non-Jews, Christianity does not constitute Avodah Zarah. Shituf is the type of idea that is forbidden for Jews to believe, but is not forbidden for non-Jews. That is the standard approach within Tosis. The razzle dazzle, and that is the approach that Rabbeinu Yerucham has. Right, Rabbeinu Yerucham's Dr. Berger actually quotes the Rabbeinu Yerucham in his. I think Rabbeinu Yerucham says Lo Huzra Akach means that they are not forbidden regarding association. Shituf is not usher for Bnei Noach. That probably means that it's not usher for them to believe and to worship a triune God. However, the No Debi Yehuda, quoting the Pischei Tshuva that I give you on the next page on page 4. The Noi Debi Yehuda takes the approach that what Tosis means is simply that it's not forbidden to for them to swear with a dual meaning. The Isser of Lo Yishama Al Picha means if they mention only an Avodah Zarah. But if the text of the Shavua mentions a combination of something real and an Avodah Zarah. Now, there are different ways of understanding this Tosis also, whether Tosis means a combination of the saints. Apparently, the text of the Shavua that the Christians would swear at this time was by the name of God and the four major saints or something. We're not talking about New Orleans, like whatever, four other ones. But the fact is, if that's, there's some shituf that they would employ within their shavua, and that was not forbidden. And the Pischei Tshuva points out that the Ramah in Or HaChaim, Kuf Nun Vav, and the Shach in Yerideya, Kuf Nun Aleph, they both follow the simple approach to Tosis, the traditional approach to Tosis, which is that Tosis is saying that shituf, in the sense of belief in a triune God, is not forbidden for Goyim, but is forbidden for Jews. The No Debi Yehuda, quoting the Pischei Tshuva and Kuf Mem Zayin, says that the approach to Tosis should be that Shituf is not forbidden in the context of a Shavua, but with belief in a triune God, does Heis Avodah Zarah. That is the other approach within the Tosis.
Why would it be different in regards
to Shavuot? Okay. So now, with regard to Shavuot, what it probably means is that the Isser of Lo Yisham Al Picha that should not cause a guy to mention Avodah Zarah in the Shavuot means, oh, if you're mentioning Avodah Zarah, but if you're also mentioning a real power in your Shavuot, that's not a problem. I think that's a simple way of understanding it. The other approach is more interesting, that for non-Jews, it's not considered Avodah Zarah, but for Jews it is. Let me take two questions, and then we'll move on, yeah?
For the traditional approach, why would this Rabbi Yehuda only say this in this specific case, and not, we already saw, Tosos deals with an issue of business, and other holocausts, shouldn't he say...
Great Kasha. Right, and as according to the tradition, if Rabbi Yehuda would say that it's not considered Avodah Zarah for them, so Rabbeinu Tam should have a mahalach very similar to the Meiri that would work clear across the first parak of Avodah Zarah. Many ask that kasha. on the traditional approach. Rav Soloveitchik said about the traditional approach, about the Shach. The Shach. Shach is like 1620 by 1662. We love the Shach. Shach is awesome. The Rav said about this line in the Shach, Kishgagash Yotzal Milofnei HaShalet. It was a mistake. The Shach misinterpreted the Tosis. That's not the Pshat. That's the way the Rav said it. But this is the traditional understanding of the Tosis. You have to speak louder. Rabbeinu Yerucham
says it also?
Rabbeinu Yerucham, it's not 1,000,000% clear in Rabbeinu Yerucham, but the implication of Rabbeinu Yerucham is closer to the Shach Ramah, yes. But the Rav said about this approach to Shkagash Yotzim of Neyashalat. Again, the first approach does have a weakness, like you're pointing out, that Tosis should have used it. Unless that's what Tosis means in that one day in Avodah Zarah, where he says that the goyim that we have are not Ovdei Avodah Zarah, but Minagav Osein Bideihem. There's like four or five answers in that first Tosis in Avodah Zarah, and the first long Tosis in Avodah Zarah, and it could be that's what Tosis means. So there are two days, but you have to look very hard for it. Now, if we accept the traditional understanding, we'll just make a few more points about this theoretical aspect of Avodah Zarah, and then we'll move on. If we accept the traditional understanding that there's a dual definition of Avodah Zarah, Avodah Zarah for non-Jews means that you cannot deny the existence of God. Avodah Zarah for Jews means that you have to affirm the existence of an incorporeal, correct God.
Where do you find this? When you say like traditional, what?
Traditional approach is the Ramah and the Shach. I quote traditional approach because the Piskei Tshuva himself quotes that, like, many people say this. In other words, yeah, people always say this. For Goyim is different definition of Avodah Zarah than there is for Jews, no? Goyim, all they have to do is that they have to make sure they do not deny the existence of the true God. Jews have to affirm the exclusive existence of the true God. That's very similar to what I said before, just a little wrinkle in the Nosach. But the fact is, the idea that there's a different definition for Jews and for non-Jews among the Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach is not unheard of. Gezel, for example. Gezel by B'nei Noach is much different than Gezel by B'nei Yisrael, no? Pachos Mishava Pruta, it could be, is not considered Mammon and is Mutter by B'nei Yisrael. I know the Magen Mishnah, the beginning of Hilchos Geneva and Gezela, disagrees with this, but one could argue that Pachos Mishava Pruta is not Gezel at all. For B'nei Noach, they are not wrong on Pachos Mishava Pruta. Moreover, the Isser of teaching Torah to non-Jews, Tosis in Chagiga says, is based on Gezel, no? Isn't that interesting? Right? Would that really be Gezel? What am I stealing? I'm not stealing something that's... Right? What am I stealing? Right? Someone is teaching it to me. How am I stealing the Torah? But for B'nai Noach, we have a different definition of Gezel. We have a different definition of Arayos by B'nai Noach than we have by B'nai Yisrael. It's a different table of Arayos. Right? Arayos on the father's side might not apply to B'nai Noach. This is actually very relevant. Mahalacha, there's a very beautiful kuntris that Rav Gustman has at the end of Kiddushin. You know, the Sefer Rokeach says that the name Rus was given to her because all she did was she accepted 606 mitzvahs because she was keeping 7 beforehand, and she accepted Rus, which is Gematria 606. It's higher mathematics, but it works. Right? Rus is Gematria 606. So the fact is that true? Is that true? The Gemara in Yevamis, Mem Zayin, says that when we accept a ger, we're Moedin, I say, Mixus Mitzvahs Kalas, Mixus Mitzvahs Chamuros, right? Including Avodah Zarah, no? When Rus is coming to Naomi, and right, Naomi tells Rus, by the way, we don't worship Avodah Zarah. What are you talking about? You also don't worship, right? Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, Avodah Zarah. How come Mixus Mitzvahs Kalas Chamuros includes Avodah Zarah? What do you mean? What's going on? So the answer might be that there's a different definition. Maritz Chiyu says this there in his notes on the Gemara in Yevamis, no? Others say this. It's a different definition of Avodah Zarah for B'nai Noach and for B'nai Yisrael. Shituf. Geza. All these things might be different. That would mean, by the way, that a ger has to accept 613 mitzvahs, no? That's the Lashon of the Gemara. that we tell them we have to accept 613 mitzvahs. We do not accept a ger who wants to accept only 606. Right? Why not? Because we assume that the Shem mitzvahs B'nai Noach are different. Right? Within those seven, they are different for B'nai Yisrael. They are for B'nai Noach. Eivor Menachai might be different, no? One could argue, some Sefer has on the truth that maybe it's also for Goyim to eat eggs. No? Because Tosfos points out that, or the Shach quotes that the heter to eat eggs is based on the Gezeres HaKosev, or Tikachem al Abonim, right? Or something, right? Is that one of the answers in the Shach? That's Gezeres HaKosev, only for B'nai Yisrael. Could be for B'nai Noach, eggs are also, Alts Eivor Menachai. This idea that there's a different definition within the Sheva Mitzvahs for B'nai Yisrael and B'nai Noach is something that carries a lot of weight. But it's really interesting. Now, when I said that, according to Rav Soloveitchik, the correct approach to Tosis is the No Deb Yehuda's approach, and the approach to Shach is Kishkarosh Yotzim Pnei HaShalit, that's found in Rav Shechter's Nefesh Harav, page Reish Lamed, page 230. It happens, though, that there's a different tradition from Rav Soloveitchik as well, which is something just to think about. I grew up in Lawrence. The rabbi of the shul that I grew up in was Rabbi Walter Wurzberger, Zechon Levracha, who was the editor of Tradition. He used to teach philosophy here in Yeshiva. Actually, I had this course of learning philosophy with him on Shabbos afternoons, because when I came here to Yeshiva, I told him that I hear Torah from Rav Soloveitchik every day, and I don't know any philosophy of the Rav, so he says, why don't you come over and we'll learn together? So we went through Vikashta Misham. It was great. It was really, I give a hesped for him in Yeshiva when he was nifter. And Rabbi Wurzberger told me on one occasion that he remembers that the Rav told him a story that the Rav was once going through a hospital ward in Boston. You know, the Rav was also the Rav, meaning he was the rabbi of a community in Boston, and he did Bikur Cholim visits. Right? Word to the wise, that's something that rabbis should do. You do Bikur Cholim visits. So the Rav's going through the hospital, and he's visiting his people, and like a cardinal, that's the way I heard the story, was ill. And Rav Soloveitchik went into the room, and he spoke to the cardinal for a while. And Rabbi Wurzberger apparently asked Rav Soloveitchik, like, what was going on? How can you speak into this cardinal for so long? They had like a long conversation. Like, if you just want to be Mavaka Chola, you say, hope you feel better. End. No? You walk out. Well, what was the long conversation? So apparently the Rav said that the cardinal was having a crisis of faith, and he was trying to reestablish his faith. Now, that is a very questionable. The Rav was halachic man. Now, I'm not saying that when he wrote Halachic Man, it was an autobiographical work. That's a different discussion. But the fact is, the Rav was a Jew who clearly abided by halacha. So how come the Rav is trying to re-establish the faith that this cardinal had? What's going on here? The only way I can understand that story, and I heard the source from Dr. Berger. Dr. Berger actually has it on one of the shiurim he has up on YU Torah on this topic. He tells the story. There seems to be a bit of a contradiction within the Rav. The only way I can understand that story is based on a Meiri that we encountered. In other words, if you assume that Catholicism, Christianity, is not really Avodah Zarah, then you can try to reestablish their faith. Or you could say a slightly refined version of it, which is that belief in nothing is worse than belief in something that's wrong. The story goes about how the Alter Rebbe used to ride in wagons from one town to another. And one time the Alter Rebbe refused to go into the wagon with the Balagola. And they asked him, Alter Rebbe, like, why are you not going in? So he said, well, usually the Balagola, the wagon driver, crosses himself. And this guy didn't cross himself, and therefore I was scared to go in the wagon with him because he might be a shofech donim. That's what Alter Rebbe said. Now, one could argue from like a pure halachic perspective that it should be punkt vakeret. It should be exactly the opposite. That if they believe in something wrong, it should be much worse than believing in nothing. But the Alter Rebbe said, no. The Alter Rebbe said that he felt that belief in nothing is worse than belief in something wrong. That is really very me'iridik. That type of line is saying that, you know, if you have no belief, no system of values, you're not geduros with das, that's much worse than, right, having a wrong belief. Now, again, there is a bit of a contradiction in these two stories about the Rav. Not sure what to do with it. It's the type of thing, I guess, that you put in your pipe and you smoke. I'm not exactly sure. I mean that metaphorically, by the way. I'm not exactly sure what to do with it. Let's proceed. Once we have reached this point, so now we should take inventory of what we're up to. According to majority of Rishonim, Christianity is Avodah Zarah, correct? Meaning, according to the Rambam, it certainly is Avodah Zarah. According to Tysus, it's Avodah Zarah for us, for sure. Right? It might even be Avodah Zarah for them. And according to the Me'iri, it's not Avodah Zarah, but the Me'iri still ends up being the minority position among Rishonim. Any way we look at it, I think the Me'iri is a minority position. So this, of course, raises questions as to whether one is allowed to enter a church. Now, the Gemara, in two places of Avodah Zarah, says something to the effect of you should not go into a church, but it doesn't say so directly. The Gemara on Daf Yud Aleph in Avodah Zarah says that a city that has an Avodah Zarah, you're allowed to walk outside of the city, but you shouldn't go into the city, the whole city, no? And you're not even allowed to go onto the road to the city if that's the road that leads to the city with Avodah Zarah. That's what the Mishnah says. That means, if I can't go into the city with Avodah Zarah, Alachas Kama B'Kama, I should not go into the base of Avodah Zarah itself. Similarly, the Gemara in Avodah Zarah in Daf Yud Zayin understands a pasuk of Harchik Me Oleha Drachecha V'lo Tikra B'Pesach Besa. The Gemara says that that pasuk means that you should keep distance, meaning you should separate four amos from a base zonos, and four amos from a base avodah zarah. No? The Gemara discusses what harchek me'alaha d'rachecha mean. Does it mean not to go near the base zonos? Does it mean not to go near the base avodah zarah? But certainly you should not come close to them. Alachas kama b'kama, you should not walk into a base of Avodah Zarah. And the Shach paskens this way. The Shach says, in Kuf Mem Tes of Yerideya, that you're not allowed to go into a city with Avodah Zarah. Quotes on the Rambam, certainly to go into the base of Avodah Zarah is going to be Aser. And Ramosha Feinstein in the Tshuva, the bottom of page 5, Ramosha writes that you're not allowed to go into a church, which is a place where they worship, even if you're only going to look at their artwork, and there may or may not be an Isser on that, like we'll discuss later on. But Zakhtar Moshe, still, you're not allowed to go into a church. And Beis Elilim is mamish also to go into. A chatzer is a discussion in the Rishonim, whether you're allowed to go into a chatzer of a Beis Avodah Zarah at a time that they're not worshiping. The simple ring of the Ramah is that he assumes that one should avoid it, to go into a chatzar of Avodah Zarah when they're not worshipping. So Rav Moshe says, don't go into a church. V'gam levad ha'iser. Besides this, you're going into a church, besides the iser of entering a church, I mean the last three lines of this tshuva in Igros Moshe on page 6, Devar hashchosahu be'amuna u'bedeyos shi'er rotzon leilech l'sham. It's Hashkasa in Amunos and Deos to want to go there. V'gabani Reb David Shlita Omer Shekoh Inyan Naser Lahasus Lahadiyah Piskarvus Shezev Vadehu Dvar Oser Lasus Ritzon Lahiskarvu Ham Lachin Chasr Shom Milaylach Lasham. Chasr Shom to go into a church to look at the pictures. The whole idea of the artwork in the church is to get you excited about Avodah Zarah, to get you into it, and Chas V'Shalom to go there, says Rav Moshe, it's also to look at the church artwork, Ad Kan Divrei Rav Moshe. So to go into a church, to look at the artwork, would seem to be a real problem. Tzitz Eliezer in the Tshuva, page 6 and 7, Tzitz Eliezer says it's also to go into a church. He assumes that the Isser is not only an Isser Maris Ayin, but it's even an Isser de Oraisa to go into the church, because we derive it from a pasuk of Harchik Me'alad Rachecha. It sounds like it's a pasuk in Mishlei, but Psukim in Mishlei, to a certain extent, Divrei Kabbalah carries the weight of Divrei Torah, and he quotes on the Pri HaSoda that it's an Isser Do'iraisa, and the Binyan Sion famously has a tshuva where he says that the Isser to enter a church is even a church that does not contain any icons. Even if there's no getchkes in the church, the Isser to go into the church still applies. Then the Tzitz Eliezer, let me just finish two more sentences, then the Tzitz Eliezer goes on, he says, even entering a mosque, he assumes is Usser. Tzitz Eliezer, the same tshuva, Chelek Yudalid, quotes a Ran in Sanhedrin Daf Samach Aleph, that the Ran understands that the way the Yishmaelim pray is that they bow down to Mohammed, and as such, right, it is Usser to go into their mosque, because they're bowing down to the Navi Sheker, and it has the status of a place of Avodah Zarah, and therefore you should not go in. Aser, 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 baruch alokeinu, shevdilam, and atom, and aser on Taurus MS. That's what he finishes the tshuva. That's what Tzitz Eliezer says. Now, there are a few points to be made. You had a question first before I...
If we use these Gemaras as a source, then how do any of us live in a city like New York?
How? Do you live in a city like New York? Yeah, so the Rambam writes that really we shouldn't live in these cities, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is punishing us, testing us, and putting us in the place that Vavatem Shom Elohim Acherim, Eitz Va'Evan. That's why the Rambam says it's something that you're living in an area, we don't have a choice. Right? Oh, we should all live in the New Square, you're saying. I don't know. I mean, it's a very big question. All the Rishonim did it. The Rambam has that line in one of these. I quote that Rambam somewhere. I don't know.
What's the main theme of the Isser of going into a church?
So the Isser of going into a church is... So either it's an Isser of Maris Ayin that looks like I'm worshipping an Avodah Zarah, or it's a Gezerah that I shouldn't come to worship Avodah Zarah, or I assume that some assume that the Isser is, this is probably wrong, that the Isser is an Isser of getting Hanoah from Avodah Zarah, which is also Usser. And the Pashtus is, it's just an independent Isser the Chazal made not to enter a church. It's an independent Isser they made. You should know that there's a, I remember one year when Rav Aaron Lichtenstein used to come to Yeshiva for Shabbosos, so Friday night he used to have these things called press conferences, no? Which, do they still have them? Basically, you could ask him anything about anything. And he would give an answer, which is always very interesting. So someone asked Rav Aaron about going to a church to look at some of the artwork. So Rav Aaron said something that there's a machlokes in Shulchan Aruch between the Rashba and the Rush. I don't know if I'm doing a good imitation, but the fact is that there's a machlokes in Shulchan Aruch between the Rashba and the Rush about whether if a guy is chasing after you with a knife to try to kill you, are you allowed to run into a church for refuge? And the Rashba assumes that it's Usser. The Rashba and the Ritva, the many of the Chachmei Sfara are told that it's Usser, because Abizrayu of Avodah Zarah is Yiharig Vayavar. I can't go into a church, even to save my own life. The Tshuvas HaRosh disagrees. Tshuvas HaRosh says, I am allowed to go into a church, Mekol Shita. I am allowed to go into a church to save my life. Says Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, Rav Aaron is a takif. He's like, no! Right? That's why he said it. Many people ask. I got a question I showed Rabbi Orlian earlier this week, right after I spoke to Rabbi Orlian about giving this year. So I showed Rabbi Orlian that it was like, Siyata Dishmaya, I get an email from a member of my shul. It said something to the effect of, Rabbi Schwartz, I'm going on vacation to Rome. Am I allowed to go into the Sistine Chapel? Right? That was the email? Something like that? I'd have to find it again. Am I allowed to go into the Sistine Chapel? So what's the answer? So the answer is, l'cha'ora, that it's not permitted. Because going into the Sistine Chapel, you're going into a church. Now, there are some who contend that the Sistine Chapel is not really a place of prayer. The only time that they pray there is when they are about to appoint a new pope. So the College of Cardinals. By the way, the College of Cardinals is nothing like Yeshiva College. Just word to the wise. But the College of Cardinals will then meet in the Sistine Chapel, and they'll... it's actually a big mystery. No one knows exactly what goes on there besides the people who are there. And eventually some white smoke comes out from the chimney, and they coronate a new pope. Right? That's basically what goes on. So that's the only time that they really pray in the Sistine Chapel. is assuming that that's what they're doing. So some contend that it's not usher because they are, it's not really a church. There is a rabbi from Baltimore who I was put in touch with. He works like for NCSY down in Baltimore, and he takes groups of rabbonim on tours of the Sistine Chapel. And he sent me an email of everyone who has been with him. He has a hocheshbin that he goes to the chapel, but not to the basilica. He assumes because it's not a place that's used to pray. There is this book that the OU came out with. I just got it last week. It's called Headlines. It's actually written by Rav Meir Goldrich Smachutin. So I was like flipping through this book because I was bored. And he has an article. Are you allowed to go to the Sistine Chapel? Oh! Okay, now that's not to say in the Shir, no? So he basically, it's page, I don't know, 162 to 165 in this book, Headlines. He quotes that there's some who are mekel. If you go in at a time when it's not a prayer service, and you go in a group, so it's clear that you're going as a tourist, not as a worshiper, because you don't worship in groups, and you pay an admission fee, because which worshiper would pay an admissions fee? So then, some say it's mutter. This whole thing sounds so difficult. No? I remember Rav Shaft...
Most people worship in groups.
I thought so. I mean, like, I've been acculturated to the fact that davening with a minion is better than davening without a minion, that, like, worshipping in groups is good. It's very, very difficult. Apparently, when Rav Aaron Luckenstein went to Rome, he refused to go to any... he refused to go to the Sistine Chapel. Rav Schechter feels it's really usher. I don't know of a heter. Even if you're going to contend, it's not a place of prayer, but the whole room is there to inspire thoughts of Christianity, no? The artwork. Michelangelo, Taka Erken painting, right? He understood. It's supposed to be beautiful, but the whole idea of it is to inspire religious thoughts, not for our religion. I don't think that's permitted. Now, alternatively, one could say this in the following two ways. In this book, he argues that the iser, the way the Gemara quotes in Yud Zayin in Avodah Zarah, the iser to go is harchek me'aloha drachecha la'atikra v'pesach pesa. So the Gemara says zu minus. Minus. What's minus? Minus is not necessarily Avodah Zarah. Minus is wrong beliefs. Even if it's not a base Avodah Zarah, but if the goal is to inspire you to beliefs which are halachically wrong, so then you should not do that. That's really a problem. That might be the nature of the Isser of Altifnu El Ha'elilim. Shabbos Kuf Mem Tes Avodah Zarah Daf Nun. The Gemara says that there's an Isser of Altifnu El Ha'elilim. Now, there are three shittas in Rishonim about what Altifnu El Ha'elilim means. The Ritva writes, Altifnu El Ha'elilim means that you should Altifnu Keal Mida'atchem, that you should be thinking about God all the time. That's a very high matrega. Don't think about anything that's not HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Altifnu Keal, or Altifanu Keal Mida'atchem. That's one mahalach. Others assume Altifnu El Ha'elilim means don't worship, don't do anything that is within the realm possibly of being Avodah Zarah. Tyson Shabbos and Kuf Mem Tes asks the question that the Gemara in Avodah Zarah Daf Nun says that Rabbi Nachum Reb Simoy was a tremendous tzaddik because he didn't look at the Tzurasa Dezuza. He didn't even know what money looked like, no? Today with Bitcoin, Mamish, many people are such tzaddikim. But the fact is that Rabbi Nachum Reb Simoy was a gevaldik tzaddik. He never looked at Tzurta Dezuza. He didn't even know what money looked like. Now, the Gemara says, one second, or the Taisa says, one second, shouldn't it be also for everyone to look at money because there's a diukin, there's an image on the money? And right, the Gemara in Shabbos Kuf Mem Tes says that diukin atzmo is also a histakel ba because of Altifnu El Ha'elilim. So Taisvis in Shabbos answers that the Isser of Altifnu El Ha'elilim only applies to images of Avodah Zarah. And the image on the coin was not an Avodah Zarah image. That's what Taisvis in Shabbos answers. Taisvis in Avodah Zarah answers that the Isser of Altifnu El Ha'elilim applies even to non-Avodah Zarah images. But any image that's ruggable, any image that I see all the time, money is something I see all the time, So therefore, it was mutter for most people to look at money. But this Rabbi Nachum Reb Simoi is called Benon Shel Chassidim, Benon Shel Tzadikim, was like Markohim, that he's considered Gevaldik Tzadik because he never looked at the Diyukin on the money. That Isser al Tifnu El Ha'elilim is probably the Isser why you should not look at Christian artwork. Even if it's not inside a church. People ask about going to the cloisters, no? Cloisters is no longer a church. Basically, it was a French monastery that they brought over piece by piece, correct? And the tapestries there are supposed to be beautiful. But the fact is, I think it's a problem because the artwork is certainly there to inspire one to think thoughts about religions other than Yahados. And that would probably be an issue about Tifnu Alilim. Last time I gave the shiur, so one of the fellows in the shiur was like a sophisticated guy, asked me afterwards, he says, but doesn't this remove one's ability from appreciating some of the finer works of art in the world, and doesn't this decrease our appreciation of culture? It's a real question, I think, because so much of Western art contains Christian themes. But of course, you have to understand that you have to know the artist and why the artist put that work on canvas. If the artist was really religious, and the artist is putting the work on canvas to get me to think religious thoughts, that's al tifnu ha'elilim. But if the artist is doing it only for purposes of noi, then it's going to be permitted. Just Amar Mokom, the Birkei Yosef in Kuf Mem Beis, clearly writes it's usher to look at Christian artwork. Rabbi Usher Bush has a sefer. Rabbi Usher Bush is like a Rebbe in Frisch. He learns here every afternoon in the yeshiva. Has a sefer Shoel B'Shlomo. So in the last tshuva, the sefer Shoel B'Shlomo has whether you're allowed to go into museums to look at Christian art, and whether you're allowed to have a chess set that has like a
art by Christians?
Christian art.
Right,
so Old Testament. So the question is, if you have Christian art that has Old Testament themes, and the goal is not to get one to think about Yashka in that art, that would be permitted, sir.
Well, Adam and Eve. Right.
I would say no. I mean, I think the Isser is the type of art. My understanding is that most murals in churches have images of Yashka on them. In museums, there's Yesh V'Yesh. Some of those works of art that are intended for Christian themes, I think, are also to look at. Now, the Magen Avraham writes about these Yisurim that the Isser is histaklus, not Re'iyah Ba'alma. In other words, it would be permitted to go to a museum and look at the work of art in a cursory way, and if there's no Christian themes, then to scrutinize it more carefully. I think that would emerge. But the question of how we balance al tifnu el ha'elilim, I think, is one of the real questions in this sugya of looking at art. Let me take two questions. We have a lot more to cover.
What's the practical application is in terms of like school? Like, I know I've been in classes in YU where they've shown inside of churches. Sometimes it was a history class would be like, this is what they're trying to do. You know,
so this is a real... So again, I think something that's being studied just as historical knowledge, you also have to question whether it's mutter, because like Rav Moshe writes in that tshuva, they quote in some Reb David, that their whole goal is to get you toward Avodah Zarah. I don't know. Remember when I was in college over here, Rav Schechter was once very upset when someone came to him with like a book that was assigned in one of the classes. I'm sure this happens like every year in YU. This is nothing new. Every week? Is that what you said? I don't know. I don't know what real basis we have for the heter. One thing I do know is that this question about Tifnu El Ha'elilim, there was a great exchange between Dr. David Berger and Rabbi Parnas in volumes 1, 2, and 3 of the Torah Mada journal about the parameters of al Tifnu El Ha'elilim, no? Right? Rabbi Parnas basically argued that based on the Isser al Tifnu, so we should not have complete openness in what we study in Yeshiva College, and there should be certain courses of study that are forbidden because it's saying other religions. And they pointed out, well, what about the Maisa Rav? What about what Rav Soloveitchik himself had on his reading list? What about the things that the Rav himself read? And that's a very strong kasha. Look at that exchange. They deal with Altifnu extensively in it. That's actually one of the better things. You should probably read this before you enter Yeshiva College, not in your third year of Smicha, but at the same time, it's an important exchange of letters. So, yeah. I can't hear you.
There's like this thing where people take like Christian or like, you know, think of practices associated with like Christmas, kind of Judify them. Like there's a thing called like elf on a shelf and made a bench on a bench.
Oh.
That problem where it's clearly.
So I think that's an American type of. I don't think that's religious by any dimension. Christianity in America and December 25th in America is a completely commercial holiday. With the exception of. Now, I'm not saying that it's mutter, therefore, to go to parties or the like. That has to be analyzed separately. But at the same time, we have to acknowledge. I think what you're referring to, like the elf on the shelf or the mensch on the bench, which is the Jewish version of it, I don't think that has any religious significance, Kiyuzet. So I don't think that's the issue. Now, in terms of whether you're allowed to enter a church, so. The majority of poskim, Rav Moshe Feinstein and the Tzitz Eliezer, is the most machmir, and Chacham Ovadia and the Yabia Omer in a few different places, they say that, of course, you can't go into a church. The Isser is a real Isser. You can't even be Mekel Mishum Eva. Chacham Ovadia writes that when he was the chief rabbi in Cairo, there was some funeral in the church, and he was not the chief rabbi in Cairo. He was like assistant to the chief rabbi. And the chief rabbi wanted Chacham Ovadia to go. And Chacham Ovadia looked into the sugya and he felt that's usher to go. And the chief rabbi says, this could like hurt the Jewish community if you don't go. And he said, no, it's usher to go. I'm not going. So Chacham Ovadia didn't go. Now this, of course, became a big deal a number of years ago. There's a president of the United States. I don't know if you've heard of him. His name is Barack Obama. And Barack Obama had an inauguration. And that is an inauguration. 2009, so Rabbi Haskell Lookstein went to the prayer service in the National Cathedral. And the RCA basically censured Rabbi Lookstein for this. They said that what you did was wrong. You should not have gone. It happens that first they invited Rabbi Heshi Weinreb, who then was the head of the OU, to go. Rabbi Weinreb refused to go. Rabbi Lookstein went. And then Rabbi Lookstein delivered a sermon to his congregation, which he then wrote up and was widely disseminated on email. Basically, he said, would it not have caused Ava and if I didn't go? In other words, if you have only a conservative and a reform rabbi, no Orthodox rabbi, would it not have caused Ava? And he said, by going, I had an opportunity to have a few minutes with the President of the United States, and in his words, I spoke truth to power. I told the President, remember the comments that you made when you visited Sderot about how if people would be shooting rockets at my children's homes, I would certainly do something about that. So Rabbi Lookstein went to the National Prayer, to the prayer service in the National Cathedral in honor of Barack Obama. Then there was an exchange in the journal Chakira about this, and subsequently Rabbi Bleich wrote an article in Tradition First, which I think is now in Volume 6 or something, of his Contemporary Halachic Problems, about whether it's permitted to enter a church. And there are those who argue. One rabbi wrote a defense of what Rabbi Lookstein did, that it's mutter because there's a rule that someone who's Karov L'Malchus is allowed to wear Malbushe Nachrim. There's an issa of Loseichu B'chukos HaGoy. There's an issa of not wearing non-Jewish clothing, but someone who's Makurv L'Malchus, the Gemara in Bava Kamma says, is mutter. And based on this, this rabbi said that what Rabbi Lookstein did was correct, and Rabbi Lookstein subsequently thanked this rabbi, and then this rabbi writes that, at one time, the state of Israel needed a rabbi to attend a funeral service of somebody that was taking place in a church, and I didn't know if I should go or not, so I asked the Tzitz Eliezer, and the Tzitz Eliezer told me that I should go and I should look as rabbinic as possible. And he said, so therefore we see it's mutter, and the heter is based on Karav L'Malchus. Now the whole thing seems to me that there's great, great, great reason to question this entire story. How would the Tzitz Eliezer have permitted someone to go? Tzitz Eliezer was the most machmir about not entering churches. The most machmir. He would permit this? Also, what? the state of Israel needs someone to attend a funeral service for some dignitary, and they're calling this rabbi from America to go to represent the state of Israel. Like, the whole story, like, it doesn't add up. No? It just, the whole story seems to me to be very, very problematic. Moreover, the heter of Karav L'Malchus, Karav L'Malchus, the Beis Yosef asks, what's the heter of Karav L'Malchus to be engaged in these things of Chukos Goyim? So one answer in the Beis Yosef is based on Hatzalas Yisrael. And that's what this rabbi was saying, that possibly you could save Jews. Now, Hatzalas Yisrael usually means that there's an acute danger. But here's obviously no acute danger, but the possibility of saving Jews down the road, maybe, perhaps, is enough to be matir certain things. But the Taz in Yerideah, where this thing comes up, quotes the second answer of the Beis Yosef. The second answer of the Beis Yosef is that the heter of Makor V'Malchus is because these are Dvarim Shemasr Makosel V'Chachomim, the Isser of Chukas Akum was given over to the Chachomim to define what's considered Chukas Akum, what's not Chukas Akum. And they said that someone who's Makor V'Malchus, we don't define the Isser for them. Right, the concept of Masara Kosel Chachomim, it's like Reb Asher Weiss's favorite topic in the world, or one of Reb Asher Weiss's 9,000 favorite topics in the world. But the fact is, Masara Kosel Chachomim is the official answer that the Taz quotes, the second answer of the Beis Yosef. So that's the answer. According to that answer, I don't know if we have a heter. And even according to the first answer, that's mutter for someone who's Makor V'Malchus. But Makor V'Malchus probably means a Jew like Malcolm Honlein, a Jew who has an ongoing relationship with the authorities. Someone who was just invited by the president on one occasion, I don't know if that makes you a Makor V'Malchus. Makor V'Malchus means I could help the Jewish people, but because I have this position, I have an ongoing relationship, so because I met the president at an inauguration, doesn't mean if there'd be any danger to Jews somewhere, doesn't mean I'm going to have any possibility of saving. It's a very, very difficult, The whole story, I think, is troubling and questionable. In this book, Headlines, he also has an essay, a write-up, about whether it was permitted for Rabbi Luchstein to enter the National Cathedral for the prayer service. He has a few suggestions. One is weaker than the next, but I don't know. I don't know if it's mutter. It seems to me that the RCA was correct in their censuring of that rabbi. Again, that doesn't mean that there's no place for Jews in these things. There is some sort of ma'aser rabbi. The chief rabbis of England went to official state events in cathedrals. That we do know. The question is what heter they had to do so. If any, maybe the heter was Makor V'Malchus for them, because if you're the chief rabbi of England, you are the address that will speak to the authorities. But just to be some rabbi who happens to be invited, it seems to me to be very difficult. This became like a cause celeb. The journal Milan Chaviven decided to publish a whole bunch of people who went to this cathedral. Most of the people they're quoting were people who carry minimal halachic weight. Again, there have been Jews who went to cathedrals and attended prayer services in cathedrals, but it's very, 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 very difficult to justify al pi halacha. If you look at the rest of this packet, I have lots of other interesting maramakomos about donating to churches, about voting in the church, about mentioning the name of Yashka, about, about whether the cross has the status of Avodah Zarah, getting Hanah from Avodah Zarah, etc. Lots of interesting sources. The last thing I want to leave you with is the Minchas HaLuzer has a tshuva. Minchas HaLuzer's tshuva goes like this. Someone asked him, a shayla, about whether you're allowed to look at a clock that was on top of a church to tell time. But that's considered getting Hanah from Avodah Zarah. Ultimately, he said, it's not getting Hanah from Avodah Zarah. Technical reasons, then they put the clock on top of the church because the church is the highest point in town. Okay, that's Minchas HaLuzer's tshuva. But in the middle of that tshuva, someone suggested that maybe it's mutter because Christianity doesn't have the status of Avodah Zarah. So Minchas HaLuzer, there's actually a YouTube video of him. You could Google him. The Minchas HaLuzer, you'll see a YouTube video. Guy Mamesh had like fire in his eyes. Like everything he said about the Zionists, like, wow. Like he was a target, no? Minchas HaLuzer is famous for the Vart, the Kamsa Bar Kamsa Chavra Yerushalayim, Kamsa Rosh HaTevis, Communistim, Mizrachistim, Zionistim, and Agudistim. No? That's his contribution. But the fact is, the Minchas HaLuzer in that tshuva, he says, Christianity is not avodah zarah. So why did my grandfather and great-grandfather and so many of our forebearers, why did they give up their life not to become Christians? How can you possibly say that Christianity is not avodah zarah? And I think that point, the passion that emerges from that tshuva, is something that we have to take very seriously. Again, we live at a time when equality is one of, if not the, Ikar HaEmunah. But at the same time, we have to recognize that ultimately, Klal Yisrael, our forefathers gave up their lives for this. And we might not be as sensitive as others are to these issues. Baruch Hashem, we live in the Medina Shel Chesed. Absolutely. And Baruch Hashem, you know, since Vatican II, the Church has made some wonderful statements about the Jews. But that doesn't change the Avodah Zarah aspect of it. And what Rabbi Yaakov Tzvi Mecklenburg began with in terms of our approach to Avodah Zarah, I think is something that we should bear in mind. And I thank you for listening.